All right, well, welcome to Moedon Ivri Club Hebrew. And we are on a beautiful day, Thursday, here, right in the middle of chapter 12 of 2 Samuel, where Nathan is now talking to David. And remember, in our last meeting in verse 7, Atahayish, you are the man, and now he's continues to talk to him. We're about to start verse 10. And remember the signal, Ve'ata, when you see that in a narrative, he's kind of summing up what's going to happen, giving, you know, he's told the parable, he's identified him, condemned him, judged him. Now here's the after effects of that. And so we're going to start with verse 10 of chapter 12, 2 Samuel. Ve'ata lo tasur cherev mibetaka ad olam, ekev ki be'zitani vatikach et eshet uriah hachiti lihyot lecha le'esha. And so, ve'ata, not will turn, that's just sur, notice it's a hollow verb, the sword. So the sword's a subject. So the sword will not turn from your household ad olam, ever. So will never turn from your household. Okay? Akev ki, again, those two constructions, those two words come together, and it's causal. Because bezitani, this is from the third hey verb, baza, and it means to despise, all right, baza. And it's just a call, this is a call, perfect, second masculine singular. And the yud that you would expect is not there. See, like you would expect from gala, galita, remember, with the third hey. But here you just have the hirik under the zine, and you don't have the yud, so it looks really compressed. But that ta is the second masculine singular ending. So it's akev ki bezitani, because you have despised me, namely God. Okay, everybody see that? Because you have despised me, from baza. Vatichach, again from the root lakach, and you have taken eshet Uriah, the wife of Uriah the Hittite, lihyot, to become, or to be, this is from Haya, to be for you ish a wife. See? So you have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. All right? Questions on verse 10. Yes, Will.
Do you think the lamed on the last word there is to indicate the direct object or more emphatic?
Yeah.
For you, for
yeah, that's a good question. What you have there is an idiom. When you have haya plus lamed, we usually translate it as to become. And so notice that leka is kind of possessive. So it's to become wife to you. So I would just so with haya plus lamed, you have that idiom. And you have it like, to be your people, I will be your people. And it's usually with haya plus lamed plus am. And so you see that all over the place. So I would say it is, you can kind of take it as kind of a direct object. But you would, it really makes haya more in the sense of to become.
With respect to the house, is there anything there that would indicate, is that his current household, is that
notice that house here, it does not refer to a physical building, but it refers to his household, and that could be, that means his lineage and also people kind of connected with his house. So it refers to his children and his relatives and those people that, you know, what we would say too when we use house in that sense. So lineage and his kindred, his kin, his own people. And he'll emphasize that in the following verses. All right, verse 11. Ko amar Yahweh, hinani mekim aleka ra'a mibeteka, velakachti et nasheka le'eneka, venadhati le'reeka, v'shaka vim nasheka, le'ene ha'shemesh hazot. All right, thus says the Lord. Notice his prophetic introduction to prophecy. Notice a very typical formula. Thus says the Lord. This is hine plus first common singular. Look, I, behold, I, meki, mekim. This is a hifil participle from kum, masculine singular. Behold, I am going to raise up over you or against you ra, Notice, I'm going to raise up against you calamity or trouble. Mibeteka, from your own house. See, again, you have bait used in that sense. From your own people, from your own kindred. Velakakti, and I will take et nasheka. I will take your wives. Okay? Le'eneka. Notice that this eneka is your eyes. So I will take your wives before your eyes, we would say. And I will give, and notice the object is assumed, and I will give them to Re'eka. I will give them to your friends. Okay, now remember, in this culture, that's a huge shift in status. You know, remember, if you sleep with the wives of another king, you're basically saying, you're the king, you're the one. All right? Notice here you have the plural, your friends. But the text, the textual note there suggests, and most translations translate it as a singular, because the verb that comes next is singular. So I will give to your friend, I will give them to your friend, Veshakav, and he will sleep. So from Shakav, he will sleep with your wives. Now here, very woodenly, it's before the view or the eyes of this son. So notice, again, that's idiomatic. We would say, in broad daylight. So in plain view of this sun or in the eyes of this sun, we would say, in broad daylight, he will do this. So not behind your back. Okay? Questions about any of the forms in verse 11? All right, verse 12. Kiata asita basater va'ani e'ese et hadavar hazet neged kol Yisrael v'neged ha'shemesh. Kiata, certainly you, now notice the pronoun, have done, all right, from asas, call, second masculine singer. Certainly you have done, it is understood, basater, in secret. Seter means secret, so notice in secret, or you could translate more as an adverb, you have done it secretly. Va'ani, again, notice the pronoun, but I, will do this thing, notice you have the object there, before all Israel, and again, before the sun, we would say, in broad daylight. So notice how the construction neged HaShemesh is really parallel and synonymous with Le'enei HaShemesh HaZot at the end of verse 11. So notice how verse 11 and 12 reiterate kind of the same thing. You did this, you did it in secret, I'm going to do it before everyone. All right, everyone's going to see it. So we're kind of already anticipating how that's going to play out in David's story to come. Okay? Good. Questions through 12. All right, verse 13. Vayomer David el Natan, chatati la'adonai. Because notice the pause there. We should pause there. Then David said to Nathan, chatati, I have sinned against Yahweh. Okay? And notice that the setuma paragraph there, paragraph division, I mean, but it kind of makes that nice, makes it look like a dramatic pause. What's going to happen? Vayomer Natan el David, then Nathan said to David, Gam Yahweh he'evir chatateka lo tamut. Okay. Then Nathan said to David, also Yahweh he'evir. Notice that this is what conjugation from avar? It's a hifil. Avar means to pass over. And so notice here, it has its kind of causative sense. Also Yahweh has caused to pass away your sin. So we might put a better English gloss. Yahweh also has put away or taken out of the way your sin. Lo tamut, you shall not die. Okay. Questions through 13 about any forms or anything. All right. So notice how he's dealing differently with David than Saul. I mean, theologically, it's really significant. He had given David that promise in 2 Samuel 7 that even when, no matter what David does, his promise holds. His chesed is not going to be taken away like he took it from Saul. See? So David becomes a murderer. So notice, it's interesting. Saul, he just offers kind of improper sacrifices, kind of blunders around, and Yahweh does away with him, picks a man after his own heart. David commits murder and adultery, and Yahweh puts away his sin. So here you see kind of what we would call a scandal of election being carried out here, you know, especially when you compare how God treated Saul. Remember, he sent evil spirit to Saul. He wouldn't answer Saul, all those kinds of things.
It doesn't have to do with his repentance, too. I mean, David's a repentant.
David's repentant. But remember, Saul, after he sinned, he asked Samuel. He said, you know, I've done wrong. And there was no mitigation for Saul, if you remember that. That's what was so poignant about what happens to Saul.
I thought he did something like made excuses or something.
If you remember, he said, you know, I couldn't wait for you, but then he said, you know, I've done wrong, I've sinned, and still, it was, you know, God had made his decision.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's interesting about Dr. Slesko.
Yeah.
When Solomon is talked to later on, the idea that his father was a man after God's own heart, that's emphasized.
Yeah.
Not
it is.
It's emphasized that he's elected, he's been chosen by God, but especially that David was a man after God's own heart. That's
right.
Often very puzzling to me, how David could be a man after God's own heart and do the things
right.
He did.
Right. See. But again, and I think it's a matter of, like we would say, who's the one who gives him the heart, you know? I mean, here, you can clearly see how David acted perversely, just like Saul did. And God forgives him. Granted, right, David acknowledges that he sinned, but so did Saul, in a sense. You know, but God keeps sending the evil spirit to Saul, too. See? So in other words, it's hard to get God off the hook here for the way he treats David differently than the way he treats Saul. That's what's hard for us, I suppose, but that's where you see what grace is, really, and that's what he gave, and you can kind of see it in action here. And I mean, you know, we could talk a lot more about that, but that's what makes these stories kind of, when you look back, kind of theologically significant for what they say about God, not so much David or Saul. Verse 14 then, Ephes ki ne'etz ne'atzta et oy ve Yahweh ba'davar hazeh, gam ha'bein ha'ilod lekamot yamut. Okay, Ephes ki is usually, what it does is mark an exception, okay? So Nathan says to David, Yahweh has put away your sin, you shall not die, but here's something else, except because ne'etz ne'atzta. Okay, notice that ne'atzta is a PL form from na'atz, and it means to spurn, all right, or to make, to cause to spurn. And notice that the ne'etz is a strange form, but that is also a PL infinitive absolute. So you do have the infinitive absolute. You would expect a patach under the nun, all right, but you don't get that. You get a hirik instead. Okay, so you would say, except, or howbeit, because you certainly have, and here's where the infinitive absolute has its force. He's making a strong affirmation. Because you certainly have made the enemies of Yahweh made them act disrespectfully. You could probably do it like this. Because you certainly have treated disrespectfully the enemies of Yahweh. To me, it's a tough translation because it's like he made the enemies act in a scornful way against Yahweh by this thing. In other words, he did this thing, and because of it, the enemies would act disrespectfully against Yahweh. I think that's what he's trying to say. All right.
There's a textual variant there.
Right.
Enemy seems to be like out of place.
Yeah, let's see. 14a. Well, what they're doing with 14a is... 14b. Let's see what they're doing here. Because you have the enemies... Let's see. Oh, Qumran. I have to look at what it says. Yeah. It looks like instead of et... it has Lamed it has a lamed there, and then the text is missing, and then you have bod. So I'd have to see exactly what the thing says. I mean, we could look up 1 Samuel 25:22 if you want to.
Maybe it's just saying that the enemies of God is removed, and so the next word comes.
Yeah,
that's words is, but,
because according to my name, thus, and with him and I said. Yeah, I don't know. That doesn't help me too much. 25:22. No wonder. Thus he will do God. Oh, against the, let's see, against the enemies of David, and thus I think it's probably, notice that the reading in 22 has Le'oivei David, the enemies of David, all right? And so that's probably what they're suggesting is to be read here. But again, there looks like in Qumran there's a break in the text. I'll check, and I can look up the Qumran really easy and see what's there.
What does that mean, to spurn, anyway?
You've made them, to spurn would be to, if you don't like someone and you spurn them, you push them away. So that's what that's
reject.
What he's saying. Yeah, you kind of reject it. Because you have caused the enemies of Yahweh over this, by this thing, you have caused them to act in a spurnful way, and namely towards Yahweh or something. See, it's a difficult kind of way to get it smooth in English here.
But that's not the enemies of Yahweh are not, it's not the subject, that's the object.
No, it's the object. So if you have caused the enemies of Yahweh to act in a scornful way,
that's
because of this thing.
How the English does,
right.
It says, but because by doing this, you have made the enemies of the Lord show utter contempt.
Yeah, see, you have made them act scornfully, or made them show contempt. And evidently it's against both David and Yahweh, see? Now, we don't have any background as to how that happened. He just says that. Okay? So then he concludes, because this has happened, Gam Habain, also the son, the Yilod is an adjective that means born. Also the son, the one born to you, Mot Yamut, certainly will die. Okay? Questions?
The whole Mot.
Yes. That mot is a call infinitive absolute.
Yes, sorry. You won't die. Earlier. Right. I sometimes had wondered, I guess, if they ever differentiate between a spiritual death, a separation from God, and a physical death. The Old Testament seems to be very literal.
Right.
This action displeased God, and so He put X to death.
Right.
The beginning with Genesis,
right.
I don't think it necessarily means just a physical death, and I was just hoping that there might be some clue in the Hebrew to differentiate those.
No, I mean, you have to kind of look at how the context is going here, and I think what from all, especially since what happens to the son, we're talking physical death here. I'm not going to slay you.
Right.
I'm not going to kill you. But your son's going to die. So I don't know so it doesn't have spiritual death here, at least here in mind. That doesn't mean Mot can't refer to that in other contexts. Yeah. Okay? Verse 15. Vayelek Natan el Beito, Vayegof Yahweh et hayelet asher yalda eshet Uriah ledavid vayeanash. I mean, think about this other thing. This kid suffers because of what David did, see? So then Nathan went, this is from Halak, to his house, and that again means his physical house, I suppose. Vayigof Yahweh, and Yahweh nagafed, plagued or struck. This is from nagaf, call imperfect, the nun is assimilated. Yahweh struck the boy who the wife of Uriah had born, Yalda, had born to David. Vayeanash, and he became sick. This is a niphal. Imperfect vav consecutive from anash. So namely, notice that what the second part of this phrase does is specify what happened when Yahweh plagued him or struck him. Yahweh struck him. Well, what does that mean? Well, specifically, he got sick. All right? Does everybody see that? Because the Yahweh striking can take any number of forms. But here he specifies he got sick. Okay? So verse 16, Vayevakesh David et ha-Elohim ba'ad ha-na'ar. Now this is interesting. David sought out God on behalf of the boy, Na'ar. So notice Na'ar is used to refer to an infant. And notice the word bakash doesn't mean seek as in try to find, but seek in the sense of sought him in prayer. So we would probably say besought him or appeal to him, okay, on behalf of the child. Vayatzam David Zom. Zom is a fast. So this is from the word Zom, a call. And David fasted a fast. All right. Uva velan veshakav artsa. And he went and he spent the night. This is from loon or lean, to spend the night. And he laid down artsa on the ground. Notice the locative hay. I also want to show you how you don't have vav consecutives here. You see a vav consecutive vayevakesh, vav consecutive vayatzam, you'd expect, and it probably could be stylistically, vav consecutive with uva, vav consecutive imperfect velan, vav consecutive veshakav. You don't get it. You get vav plus perfects, and you would translate them all past tense. And again, we've seen this a couple times through 1 and 2 Samuel, where either it's a more colloquial style, or maybe it's being done for rhetorical reasons to kind of emphasize these actions. See, he sought the Lord, and he even went and laid down on the ground outside. See? So namely, maybe it's just pointing out that David went the extra mile. He fasted, he prayed, but then he also even spent the night outside, which would be unusual for a king to do. Evidently, just lay down on the ground. See? Okay? But we don't know. I mean, it's just an interesting switch here that you get. And remember, it happens in 1 Samuel 7. We looked at that a long time ago, where God's giving the covenant to David. And right there in the middle of the text, you see this switch as well. Okay? So verse 17, Vayakumu zikne veto alav. Then the elders of his household stood around him or above him, la hakimo, to raise him, a call in hifil and finif construct, to raise him min haaretz, from the ground. Velo ava, but he was not willing. Ava means to be willing, but he was not willing. Velo bara itam lakam, and he did not eat. Bara, you notice, to means to create, but there's a lesser meaning where it means to eat. And he did not eat with them lechem, bread. Okay? All right. Questions there? We really have to stop. It's kind of time. Questions? All right. Through 17, we'll start. We can maybe get through chapter or verse 25 next week, and maybe even a little farther onto the rest of the narrative. It's really interesting. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Yep.